Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. I'm grateful, very grateful indeed. For what indeed is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him. Lord, as we go into your word this evening, I humble myself. I strip myself of every confidence that I might yet have in my knowledge or preparation, or even in past experience in sharing your word. I place all of my confidence in your mercy to be a faithful steward of the word. In the grace of our Lord Jesus, and in the help of the Holy Spirit, as I duck under covering, as the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, doing an eternal work in the hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten with the light that comes from the word, and our emotions to further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As the word goes forth, let it break yokes in our lives, let it set men free, causing our blindness to be open. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge, so the eyes of understanding, Father, will be furthered with light. Lord, I will know better the hope of a calling upon our lives. Lord God, the glory of your inheritance in us as saints, and the exceeding greatness of your resurrection power in Christ to us, what we believe, according to the working of your mighty power which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from death. Help me to be concise and precise, not to say things that are necessary. Holy Spirit, I yield my faculties unto you. Come and have a way. Come and glorify the Lord Jesus. Come and testify of him in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the song of the choir. It says that we are loving our King. Praise the Lord. That's all that the entire purpose of us as Christians, that's where it dovetails into. And the title of my message is Loving God More. Let's say it together, Loving God More. Genesis of this message is about 2 weeks ago, after the Sunday service, we went back to call Pastor and Mommy to thank them. And Pastor started sharing some things to us about the aspect of us as Christians loving God more. Many of us, we assume that God has the same love for everybody, which is true in a sense. But there's a baseline love for everybody. But there's an aspect of God that makes him love people or more than, not that he loves them, he's open to everybody. You see, but there are some people that are very close to him. Are you following me? I will explain as I continue. And that is dependent on us loving God more, that you can move from where we are to where God wants us to be. That is, you see, as I continue, we can actually love God the same way Jesus Christ loved him while he was on earth. It looks all impossible, but that is our destiny and that is our purpose in life, to love God exactly the same way Jesus Christ loved him on the earth. Praise the Lord. So like I said, the title of the message is Loving God More. And I'll read three scriptures to form a background as I continue. Let's open our Bible to the book of John chapter 21, verse 15. You see, the background there is when, after Jesus Christ had resurrected, I told them to go and wait in the upper room. In between that period of time, Peter led the other disciples to go and fish. So when Christ appeared to him, you see, one thing I need to know about the love of God is this. You see, he didn't even talk about the problem. First of all, fed them. We need to learn that principle. That's why if you read throughout his Gospels, when he's going to heal people, he won't start talking about that. First of all, heal them. Then I say, go and sin no more. So let's read John chapter 21, verse 15. Say, so when they had dined, you see, Jesus said to Simon, so he spoke to the leader of the pack, Peter, he spoke to Simon, let me again, sorry. When they had dined, Jesus said to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto me, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Now, what I want to bring out there is this. Christ says something, lovest me more. Say, lovest me more than this. So we can love God more than where we are today. That's what I want to see in that place. He said, lovest me more than this. If you actually read the scriptures, he spoke to him. It seems as if he repeated the same thing three times. But no, he was saying, the love he said there is agape. Christ just said, Peter, son of Jonas, agape me more than this. That is unconditional love. Are you following me? And Peter replies and says, you know I love you, but the love he said there is filial. So Jesus Christ said the same to him the second time, and he still did not get it. And he thought and Christ and said, okay, filial me more than this. He said, you know all things. Then that's why he now told Peter and said, look, when you were young, the issue why he could not love Christ as he also was because at that time he was still a spiritual baby. Mind you, we're only about 3.5 years in the Lord. And so when you were young, you went whithersoever you wanted to go. But when you are old, spiritually speaking, although I was talking naturally, I said, another will guard you and take you where you don't want to go. That is where we're all going to. The another that guards you is the person of Holy Spirit. So I will send you another comforter who that may abide with you forever. It now begins to take you where in your natural flesh you will not want to go. Are you all following me? Second scripture, Luke chapter 7, verse 47. We are talking about loving God more. Say loving God more. Let's keep that at the back of our mind. Wherefore, I say unto thee, and sins which are many are forgiven her. For she loved much. Say, for she loved much. But whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now, let me give you a background of what happened there. This is the woman that Jesus Christ went to the house of one Pharisee, and he was eating and everything. So this woman came in. Bible says the woman was a sinner, from what he said. And he began to weep and to wash Jesus' feet with her hair. And the Simon, I think the man's name was Simon, he said, if this man has been a man of God, you should have known that this man is a sinner and not permitted that. So Jesus Christ now said, look, I came into your house. You didn't give me a kiss. You didn't wash my feet. But this woman has come, since she's come, washing my feet and all that. So he now said what I just read, which is what I want us to see. We've mentioned loving God more. Here Jesus Christ now says, for she loved what? Much. So that means you can love God little. You can love God more and more till you get to a place that I love him much. That is without measure. Praise the Lord. It's very important. You see, I've just mentioned something in passing. How? He said, just guys, he said, she has been forgiven much, so she loved much. You see, until you know how much by revelation Christ has forgiven you, you're not going to love him much. That's if you still have confidence in your self-righteousness, I follow me. You're not going. You see, if you see people in those days, it was a strong goal for them to get born again. Say, I don't drink, I don't smoke, so I'm not like you. So when they get born again, they still carry that into Christianity. I don't drink. I never had a boyfriend. I never had a girlfriend. Blah blah blah. All that one. The Bible says 50 rags. The other aspect where it concerns us is this: when you begin to love God more. By washing the feet of his body, are you following me? Then you begin to love him more. That's when you learn how to hear this woman wash Jesus' feet. But when you're not practicing, you practice daily how to wash the feet of the body of Christ. Are you following me? That's how you're going to show him that you love him more. I'm going to get to you later. Are you following me? Just keep listening. So Christ said in Matthew 22, verse 37, said Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Let's go. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That is, our destiny is not to love him with some. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. It's very important. So everyone say all, not some. The danger here is that if you love God with some, then what aspect are using remaining parts to love? Are you following me? If you love, he said about Jesus Christ, he doesn't want to leave room for Satan. You see, if you don't love him with all your heart, with all your, which is your soul, which is your will, your mind, your emotions, the remaining part will be loving the world. There's no middle road there. That's what got David into trouble and Moses. That aspect of their lives that they did not totally love God with created a loophole for Satan to exploit. Jesus Christ says something. He said, the prince of this world cometh, and he has what? Nothing in me. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to love him with everything we have. Praise the Lord. So we'll see as we continue. And it's very important. As the scripture, as I was preparing, God gave it to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul was saying something. Can put in Amplified Bible. You see, this is the talking about loving God with everything is the same thing as perfecting the love of God. That's where you come to that place where the love of God is made perfect in your will, your mind, and your emotions, and your physical body. What does it say? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul was talking, and we all must come to this. He says that, for the love of Christ controls us, and urges and impels us, because we have all of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, which is true, then we are all dead. King James says, we have judged that if one die for all, that is Christ, then we are all dead. Next verse. Now this is the consequence of this next verse 15. And that he died for all, So that all, say all, not some, those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. That is, you come to a place of revelation knowledge that he died for all. Then you're no longer living for yourself. You are living according to the dictates of a master. That is, the nature that is now controlling your will, your mind, your emotions now is not the former nature again, which now begins to determine what you do. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to know that. So what I also want us to see here is that I'll be giving an example from the Bible as I was preparing about three people. We are conversant with those people who have read it over and over again. But I was preparing, you know, God brought it back to me, and I use as an example to illustrate what I'm trying to say. I wrote in my notes, I said, loving God much is sown in the bearing of much fruit, which is the perfection of love of God. That is, how do I know that I love God much? That is, without measure. It's in the amount of fruit that you are bearing. Fruit here being the fruit of the Spirit. You know the story of the message that Christ gave in John chapter 15. He said, every branch him that does not bear fruit, he take it away. He said, every branch him that is bearing fruit, he said, he purged it, that he brought bear much fruit. He now said something in the book of John chapter 15, verses 5 and 8. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Say, much fruit. For without me, he can do nothing. Verse 8. Say, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear what? Much fruit. So we are moving from the place of bearing little fruit to more fruit until you bear much fruit. And that fruit, again, is the fruit of love, the perfection of the love of God. I've seen in the book of Galatians chapter 5, or 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, it says, love endures long, is patient and kind, up to get to verse 8, and say, love never fails. That is where we are going to, praise the Lord. So, like I said earlier, I said, we can actually love God the same way Christ loved. This is a stronghold that we need to pull down. Because in our minds, we think it is not possible. How can you love God the same way Jesus Christ loved him? But that is actually what Christ came to do. So I read scriptures to support this. John chapter 15, verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. What does it say? Continue you therefore in my love. So we can continue the same love that the Father had for Christ while he was on earth. Are you following my train of thought? John 17, verse 26. It says, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that what? The love, say, let's together, the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in what? Them, and I in them. It's very important. This is what God wants to do in all our lives. That is, we love him so much like Christ loved him, with no difference. Are you all with me? Praise the Lord. So, like I said later on, God's love for his children is not the same. I will explain what I mean. God loves everybody. Even love, for God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. That the pastor was sharing from Romans chapter 5, you know, that one, where it says that, while we are yet sinners, Christ loved us. He said, much more now that we are his children, with his love now reduced. So that means the love that God has for the world is different from the love he has for his children, even though it's the same agape. That we are talking about measures, same measures. So in Christianity, God also loves his children in measures. You see, but that measure is dependent on the degree to which you love him. So God can love a Christian 30-fold. He can love a Christian 60-fold. And he can love a Christian 100-fold, which is what we are looking for. But that love is dependent on you. It's not God that determines and says, from your mother's womb, I will not love this one more than 30%, 30-fold. No. The Bible says in the book of James, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh. So as you draw more to him, then he will draw nigh to you. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us. Like I said, we'll look at the example today of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Praise the Lord. Let's say Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. We need to take this love out of the religious context. And we'll know exactly what it means when God says, this one loves me. And actually know exactly what the question paper is, what the question is, and be able to answer it intelligently daily. Praise the Lord. So John chapter 11, verse 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What does it say? Let's read together. Now, say now. Jesus loved Martha and her sister, who's Mary, and Lazarus. He says God loved them. This is when they sent to him that Lazarus was sick. And like we had to meditate. Papa had actually mentioned it before, you know, when he was preaching, that Martha is 30-fold, Mary is 60-fold, and Lazarus is 100-fold. You're going to see. I read scripture to support what I'm trying to say. Martha was in the kitchen preparing food. Mary was at his feet, but Lazarus was at the table. That's the difference. 30, 60, 100. But they all made the choice. You may be asking, how come Lazarus died? We'll get there later. God didn't send about Lazarus, why he died. But the secret things belong unto God. It's things that are revealed unto us, that belong to us and our children. But Lazarus is one of the people in the Bible that the Bible not record anything negative against him. And of all the people in the Bible, there are about three people that the Bible calls his friend. He calls Abraham his friend, called Moses is his friend, and also calls Lazarus his friend, by mentioning their names directly. Are you all following me? All right. Let's look at Martha 30-fold, outer court. As I was studying, you believe that the house that they all came, Jesus Christ came to, was owned by Martha. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. You see what am I saying? You can own a house or be the head of the house, and yet you may not love the master as your human. Have people under you that still love you more than you love him. It's not a question whether you own the house. Martha owned this house that Jesus Christ was coming every day. But she missed the purpose for which Christ was coming. Lapara said years ago, so beautifully, he was preaching. It took me years to understand what he said. He said, Judas kissed the door and missed the entrance. It's deep. Jesus Christ said, I'm the door. No man can come into me, I follow me, except, can come unto the Father except by me. That means he said, I'm the door. To this, I am. So when he was going to betray him, he kissed the door, Jesus Christ, but missed the entrance. Mercy, Lord. So, we can see Martha. You own the house. I'm calling us again as heads of our home, especially men. Our love for God, it should be equal with, you know, as time goes on, because there are no male or female in Christ. But as men that God has put in authority over our homes, our love for Christ should be far above those under us. They should now move. The Bible says, there's a scripture in the book of Isaiah. He said, in that day, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. Are you following me? And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days in one day. Is that when the Lord shall bind up the breach of his people? That is, because of growth. Are you following me? Okay, let's watch. Moreover, the light of the moon, the wife, shall be as the light of the sun, the husband. Are you following me? And as a consequence of that, are you following me? The light of the sun shall be what? Sevenfold. At the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord would bind up the breach of his people and heal the stroke of their wound. So this order must not be reversed. That is, the light of the moon now sevenfold, the light of the husband as light of the moon. Mercy, Lord. So what are we saying? We're looking at Martha. What's the problem of Martha? We all know. But just point out on scriptures, it's not to condemn us. It's nobody starts at the table. We all start as matter. I see the good thing again is this: the greater swallows up the lesser. So matter, Mary are all inside Lazarus. Do you get what I just said? So we're not talking about, because when you start, that's why you see when the church started in Acts of Apostles, Peter and James had been waiting on tables with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that will go and get the fish, go and get all things ready. But it now came to a place that brought them a place of responsibility. And they said there was a division among them. They were arguing about how to divide food and all the grains and all that. And I said, look, it is not meet for us to lead the word of God and prayer to go and serve table. He said, appoint unto yourselves. Are you following me? Seven men of honest booth and all that. So what are we saying? You see, nobody starts at the table. We all start as matter. But with time, we need to progress. Because you see, if you stay there too long, it's the outer court, it's a dangerous place to be. So let's read about Martha. Luke chapter 10, verses 10 to 42. But Martha was cumbered about with what? Much serving. And came to him and said, "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Be thou therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art what? Careful the cares of this world, and troubled about many things." What is the source of Martha's trouble? The sin nature. Then finish reading. He said, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which cannot be taken away from her." That means it was a choice that Martha made. It was a choice that Mary made. It's a decision of your will. Are you following me? It's not nobody. And you see, when, like I keep saying it, each time I look at it, Jesus Christ did not even stop Martha. He didn't stop Mary. That did stop Lazarus. It says, "Whosoever will, let him come and drink of water of life freely." Martha was cumbered out with much serving, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and a lot. I just Christ identified this. Said, "You are careful about too many things that are not important." And I said, "You're also troubled." If you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he says that Paul was talking. He said that, talking about marriage, he said, "I will not say you should not marry." He said, "But if you why didn't want to marry, let her marry." He said, "But you're going to have trouble in the flesh." What is trouble of the flesh? Uncontrolled sin nature. That's why Martha is always agitated. She just wants to do something. She wants to be the one there. She wants to be that is doing this one, you know, having her finger in every pie. It's a result of the sin nature, the agitation, not knowing when to stop, not knowing the will of God at every point. Just want to do every activity. Activity. Pastor always says something. He said, "Don't spread yourself thin." I thank God. I'm just mentioning passing. I used to wonder why a pastor doesn't go out like you see men of God travel 1 month ministering, running up and down. As he was explaining to us, he said, "You don't spread yourself thin." Because you see, it takes spiritual power to do this work. If you're not careful, you'll be doing it by the external anointing and you burn out. You know, you see something, Joseph said, your outreach must never be more than your outreach to God. That's why Jesus Christ said, "I'm sent to the lordship of the house of Israel." He didn't leave the confines. He didn't say, "Okay, maybe we know how many disciples joined the Baptist house." He didn't say, "Okay, I have to, let me get more." In fact, he was trying to reduce the number. Are you also going? So, let me continue. So, John chapter 12, verse 2. See Martha again. Bible says, "In the matter of two or three witnesses, let every word be established." That is in Luke. This is another situation in the book of John. It says, "There they made him a supper. And Martha did what? Served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him." Now, why would God be talking about this issue about Martha again? Not because God hates Martha. But see, these things are written for admonition unto whom the end of the world has come. You see Martha challenging Jesus Christ that, why don't you tell her to come and join me? And Jesus Christ rebuked her. He said, "You are too careful about too many things." That it was a gentle rebuke. Even though he was cooking for the master, there are many things we do for the Lord that is not what he expects us to do. We do it at the wrong time. Are you following me? It's not wrong to cook for Jesus. They are going to eat. But the most important thing at that time was everybody to be at Jesus' feet. Praise the Lord. This speaks of the Ephesian church. Pastor has taught about it before. Jesus Christ commended them. They even had some fruit. He said, "You are patient." He said, "You try those apostles and you find out they are not." But he rebuked them. I think in verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." He said, "Because thou hast what? Left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." Martha did not know she had fallen. She had left, she was busy in the kitchen while the master was busy preaching. See, anything we do, folks, that takes your attention away from fellowship with God to prayer and the word is dangerous. Extremely. You see why I'm saying what I'm saying? Because in this end time, it's not a luxury you can afford. I see the end time that there's going to be many distractions. So he says, remember from whence thou hast fallen and do your first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except you repent. So there is hope to repent. And follow me. As I said, a dangerous place to be. Jude chapter 1, verse 12. You see, nobody gets to that place of no fruit. It's a gradual process. Jude is only one chapter, verse 12. See what it says. Say, this, it didn't say you are not Christians, so born again. Say, this are spots in your feast of charity, love. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. Carried about of winds. Now, this is what I want us to say. Says trees. Say trees. Trees in the Bible speaks of Christians. Say trees whose what? Fruit withered. So they had fruit before, but began to wither because of this activity. Like matter God herself involved in. Feast of charity. Things to the outward people. It's like, this guy is really serving God. He's really serving God. Yeah, he's serving God. Oh, yeah, he's serving God. You see him here today. You see him there tomorrow. They want to do something. He's the one that will get it. It's not wrong to do. Somebody has to do it. But there's an under guard of what you must do. So you don't go beyond. So you don't begin to run on an empty tank. Are you following me? So it says, trees whose fruit withereth. So the next stage is this. Without fruit, no more fruit. Twice dead. Blocked up. So, that's why Christ warned Martha. He said, you are too cumbered about too much serving. That which is needful is the Mary that has chosen it, and nobody can take it from her. He said, nobody. Let me, when I was thinking about this, you know, you said, but what about my work? I don't have time. You have time. What he meant when he said nobody can take it from her is that if you walk till 9 o'clock, that time you will find it. You will not go to bed. Don't you get mad to say that? Is don't say I don't have time. No, I said nobody can. That is that intimacy with Christ. Nobody can take it. That is whatever is going to cost you to keep that time of fellowship with God. No matter the circumstances you are facing, you will still do it. You know, say, anyway, well, you know, we're serving the Lord. We worked overnight. And then, so I can't do my morning prayer again. And God understands. He doesn't understand. You know why? Because without intimacy, you cannot bear fruit. Activists cannot get fruit. The natural. So what he says is that, he said, nobody can take that. At least, if you like, give Mary extra work to do. She's still going to find that time. Which you just shift. Are you following me? You're looking at me like I don't know what I'm saying. What happened to Joshua? Joshua was serving Moses. And he would stay there. I'm sure he did not know they were going to spend 40 days. But Bible says that after Moses departed, the man Joshua stood at the foot. Why? Nobody can take it from him. So you now see Moses, you see Joshua, Aaron, and the rest. Where was Aaron? Are you following me? So it's very important. Nobody can take, no matter what happens, you will find that time to read your Bible. You will find that time to fellowship. Because even while you are doing the work, your physical work you are doing, your heart will be crying and say, oh Lord, oh Lord. Then you know what God will do from my experience? The Bible says, will give men for you and people for your life. You now give a wisdom. Okay, do this, do this, do this. You make a way that seems to be no way. Okay, it's very important. So I said there can be no fruit without intimacy with God and in prayer through the word. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. I'll read. Wherefore, my brethren, Romans 7, 4, ye also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ. This is what I want us to see. That you should be what? Married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So you can see marriage there. If you're not married to him in intimacy and fellowship, you can't bring forth fruit to God. As I said, if there's no intimacy, there's no bearing of fruit. I pray that God will give us time. So, like I said, matter is always agitated. John chapter 11, verse 20. Verse 8, then, this is when Jesus Christ came to see them. You know, Jesus Christ, he didn't enter, he was in, what name of this place again? Bethany. When they told him that his friend Lazarus was sick. And he said, this sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God to make manifest. And when he got to Bethany, he waited there. So the news got to Mary and Martha that Jesus Christ was in Bethany. The Bible says it was 15 furlongs from where they were. So you know what happened? Immediately, Martha heard. She stood up. That is agitation. I don't know how I can disturb this thing. That's how you know whether how much of Martha you still have in you and how much of Mary you have in you. I follow me, because it's the same nature that dominates the will, the mind, the emotions, that just wants to do something for God. And begins, it's like Bible says, Rehoboam. You begin to substitute brass for gold. You know, when they came and they took away the shields after Solomon died. I know, I think Rehoboam gave them to settle one king. So because he could not get gold, brass, no brass, when you polish brass, it looks like gold. But Bible now said they now made shields of brass. They will polish it, but wasn't gold. It looks like it, but it's not it. Like Christ caused the fig tree. So it looked like apple, like there should be fruit. Ah, so this is so much leaves. And he looked at it closely, there was nothing. I'm about to say the cause. You see, there's some I will mention it. I've seen people. It's sobering what I want to say. I've seen people taken away because of what I'm talking about. I know. I give an example. I don't want to see it. Years when after I just got born again, years ago, I was a little baby. I was praying. God said, go and talk to so and so and so. And I went there. I said, so-and-so. I said, you need to begin to... The guy started dropping. I don't want to... Anyway, I spoke to him and I left. He's not here today. You know why? God loves us so much. Why not allow any of his children to deteriorate and retrogress and backslide to that state we saw in Jude, it would take him away. See, he said the righteous is taken away for the evil to come. He said, you don't consider it. We're going to see in the book of Luke. When they went to Jesus Christ, they said, Master, he said, in that season, didn't you hear about what Herod did? Pilate, that he has mingled the balls of Galileans with the sacrifice. You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, except you likewise to, he said, except you repent, shall likewise perish. Then, you know, he not added to it. He said, you think the 18 that the Tower of Siloam fell upon were worse sinners than you? He said, except you likewise repent. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. It was after that that he now spoke the parable of the fig tree to them. He said, as a fig tree was planted in the vineyard, he said they came looking for fruit. First year, second year, to go and check it. Are we there? So put in verse 1. I just mentioned it. Verse 1, 13:1. The same discourse, 13:1, please, on the double. We are present at that season, some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, expecting sympathy. But Christ hit the nail on the head. Next verse. He says, and Jesus answered, said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Next verse. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. They now gave an answer. All those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye they that were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Next verse. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise, you will not perish in Jesus' name. What I'm trying to say is this. Take food bearing serious. It's so simple. I'm not saying the dangers of substituting brass for substituting works for getting up and praying and reading your Bible is rebellion. That if you don't do what you have been told to do, you not write your own question, you answer it, and then you go and submit. work done is equal to zero. It's in that context, later on, that I now spoke about the parable of the fig tree that was planted and it came looking for fruit. I came looking for fruit the first year, the second year, the third year. Lord will have mercy on us. Let's look at Mary. Okay, no, one more scripture. John 11:20. Then Martha, as soon as he heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Mary didn't just move. Also, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But he's calling for Mary's. Mary is 64. John 11:28. And when she had so said, when he went there, you know the story, he spoke this. If you have been here, they literally said the same thing. My brother or daughter died. Well, Jesus Christ didn't really respond to him. He said, I'm resurrection and the life. He said, I know you believe on the... He could not take Jesus from Bethany to the house. Even though he had heard that he was coming. Are you following what I'm trying to talk about? Are you following me? There is a company of people that are going to bring him in. Martha could not. Because activity is not what is going to bring him in. As we're expecting his return. So, and he said, John 11, he said, and when she had so said, that's Martha, she went away and called for her sister secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. Specific. Luke 10:39-42. Are you following me? He says that, talking about Mary now, I already mentioned it. He said that he sat at his feet when Martha was busy serving, hearing the words of Jesus Christ. John 11:2. I'm trying to show us the characteristics of Mary now. We've seen Martha. But see, we need to look at what we ought to become. Martha is the transition. Mary is the transition between Martha and Lazarus. So John 11:2 says, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. What does that mean? You see, we've been taught by Papa Ralph. It was at midnight that Ruth went to uncover the feet of Boaz, learning to walk as he walked. Feet speaks about your walk. I say, walk in the spirit, so shall not feel. So what was Mary doing here? Says he wiped Jesus' feet with our hair, our covering. This speaks about people that are under covering, practicing walking the same way he walked. How did he walk? Paul said he was tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. But you see, right now, we cannot perfect that walk. So we need to stay under covering to practice that walk. Are you following me? So the Bible also says, it says that he that said himself, he that abided in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So here you see Mary using types and shadows, washing Jesus' feet, cleaning with her hair. That is what added to what was lacking in her faith walk. So she was practicing how the master walked, using types and shadows. I already mentioned Ruth. It was at midnight that was a cry made. Say, the bridegroom cometh, go ye therefore to meet him. It was at midnight also, book of Ruth, that Naomi told Ruth to go quietly into the threshing floor and to uncover Boaz's feet. What that means is this. You begin to learn how he walked, which is overcoming every temptation on the hour by the hour. Praise the Lord. So I said it is Mary that brings Christ back into the house. John 11:30. I say he brings her in true humility. If you read it carefully, I don't have time to turn there. Martha's attitude was not that moving in nice, it was not as good as Mary's attitude. Look at what Mary did. Say, John 11:30. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place that Martha met him. John 11:32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, Martha didn't do this. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. What they said was the same. But look at the attitude. One fell down at his feet. One just told him to his face. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." So he followed Mary back to town. There is a company of Christians that are going to bring him back. Usher is returned. That will bring about the manifestation or the fullness of resurrection life. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." That is, the ass speaks of a stubborn animal. But for the king to ride on the ass, that means this is a people that have dominated, that have overcome that aspect of a sin nature in their lives. They've been broken. So the master can come riding gently into Jerusalem. So let's move to Lazarus. Lazarus is the one, like I said, that sat at the table of the master. Now, I don't know why Lazarus died. So I cannot say anything about why he died. But also know that if we read about Lazarus, nothing negative was mentioned about Lazarus. The Bible also says that Jesus Christ, when he heard, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but as Son of Man might be glorified." I don't know why he still died. But what I know is there is a company of people. Or let me, can you walk with God so much that he will bend back cross for you to do what has never been done before? So when he heard that he was sick, John 11, 11. You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go to awake him out of sleep." And like I said later on, I said, I'm not sure, but I think these are the only three people that the Bible, God calls his friend. Abraham was called the friend of God. That is, God mentioned them specifically. I'm not talking about, you know, he said in a place, he said, "If you keep my commandments, then you are my friends." But he mentions Abraham. He mentions Moses. Moses spoke to him face to face. So he said, "Our friend Lazarus is sleeping. I'm going to wake him up." Are you all with me? Who are God's friends? Yes, John 15, verse 1 says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." So, John 12, 2 said, "There they made him supper. And Martha still sat." But Lazarus was what? One of them that sat at the table. That is, the place of the table is a place of higher level of fellowship and intimacy with the master. I said, "That has set the table for me in the presence of my enemies. That's anointing my head with oil at the table. My cup went over." And the end of the Bible says that the miracle that was wrought in Lazarus' life brought more people to God at the end of the day. So why is this message important? I put it, I say, loving God more guarantees more of his manifest presence till he permanently abides on us like he abode, the Spirit abode on Christ at Jordan. What do I mean by that? You see, like I said, we need to love God more. The more you draw close to God, the more you begin to experience his manifest presence. He's not going to follow you like ripe cherries. Mm-mm. It's as you draw close to him, not in activity, but in intimacy, in fellowship, in prayer, and in the word. John chapter 14, verse 21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, I will manifest myself to him." So you see, manifest presence. You see, I'm trying to let us see that it's not the gra-gra that we are doing that brings about his manifest presence. That was what we are doing in the Ephesian church. Yesterday at the all night, I was praying. I believe God spoke to me. It came like a flash. I won't say it's God, but we can all think about it. You know what? He said, "Do you know," he said, "was Gethsemane Jesus' morning prayer?" Answer me. What's his morning prayer? Now, was it Peter, James, and John's morning prayer? No, they are done with the morning prayer. You see, when you do what we do in the morning, then you now begin to walk in the Spirit. As you now watch and pray, God now show you what to come. Then you now find time and pray like he did 3 hours. So you don't finish that and say, "I'm done for the day." No. That is to prepare you to watch and pray always. So in place of watching and praying always, that you now saw, this is about to happen. Then I say, "Guys, come, let's go to get some money." So what is the morning prayer? The morning prayer is not the end. It's foundation for the day. That's why when he was ministering, you see, these things, when you understand it, I've explained it a little bit. I'll be doing something that I just said an altar to pray about something. In the midst of all I'm doing, I said, then I will leave it. Maybe the man said, this will come back again. It will come back again. But I said, God speaks once, twice. Yeah, man, perceive it not. He was ministering to people, 5,000 people. Everybody was rejoicing. The next thing, he just said, you guys go to the other side. I had to go and pray. Then he goes and spends all night. What am I saying? You put that out on the board. Everything you do is to bring you to that place whereby you are watching and praying always. As you now watch and pray always, those will now show you things to come. So you see that, I have to go to the cross. And I say, oh, guys, let's go. You know why? If he had prayed one phase of prayer, when they slapped him, he would have slapped his own back. Yes, yes, sir. It's not emotions. Sufficient prayer. He did one. He knew it wasn't done. He did the second one. He did the third one. Peter would have, when he caught that guy, said, well done, well done. You're a great disciple. Caught the second one. Why? Because there wasn't sufficient power in his body at that time. So he asked me, he said, was this his morning prayer? I said, no. He said, was it Peter, James, and John's morning prayer? No, they had done it before. So what now happened after is what they saw. I said, okay, let's pray. We need to pray more. But that could not happen until this last stage of watching and praying always. So he saw what was about to happen. Then he set himself aside to go and pray. You see it all over the scriptures. The other time they were going, he said, I'll meet you on the other side. And he went to go and pray. But he didn't know it the day before. He must have known while he was doing something. Just want to show you this is because things are dynamic in the realm of the spirit. They are dynamic. John, permanent abode. John chapter 14, verse 23. Says, Jesus answered and said unto him, a second stage, if a man love me, he will keep my word. And my father will also love him. I will come and make our abode with him. So you see the manifest presence. But like I said, it's dependent on how much you love him, which is shown in how diligent you keep the commandments. That's what Pastor was sharing with us that day. He said the love for God is number one. You cannot love man above God. Your love for God must be number one. And that is what you show in the same thing you do when you give your tithe every morning. That is, he said, if I'm a father, where is my honor? That's what I'm talking about Malachi. It wasn't just talking about money. It's a principle. As you get up in the morning, you do every other thing. Then God is the last one that takes the remnant. No. You have not honored him that day. In terms of your money. Your tithe is the first 10%. So the tithe of the day is 2%. It is what you like the most that you attend to early. So it's not, I'm not saying we do make mistakes. But I have observed one thing. If I don't read my Bible in the morning, I may read it in the evening. It's dry. Extremely dry. I just read it for reading. But I discover that when I get up, I do my prayers and everything, and I read my Bible. Boom. I'm telling you a fact. And I say, what have I doing all these days? At times, I get up to go and pray. I'm just walking to go and begin to pray. I start to worship. The next thing, I just see a scripture. It just drop in my heart. Boom. I say, God, I never saw like that before. That's fellowship, intimacy. It's the first that you give, not the last. God have mercy on us. So, second point, I say, it will determine longevity. Yes, so. It's the one child that loves you the more that you give more things to. It's a natural consequence. Jesus Christ said, thou will not catch your pearls before swine. I run through it. James was a disciple, an apostle. He was killed by Herod. Peter was put into prison. But he came out. But Joshua tells us that Peter was crucified upside down. What about John the apostle, the one that put his head on his heart? Said they tried to kill him, they couldn't kill him. Put him boiling hot, they could not. What's the difference, folks? What's the difference? This is what I want us to see. But there's room for everybody to become a John. That is not, he's not saying it's only one person. Not everybody. But his pastor said, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. So if you are not experiencing that manifest presence, or the decree we are experiencing is the decree which you are drawn unto, which is shown in the decree to which you keep the commandments diligently. It's the keeping of the commandment too. It's not run up and down. It's the keeping of commandments. And the best time to do it is early in the hours of the morning. Let me read a scripture by John said. John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 John chapter 5. I don't think I put the verse here. In the Amplified Bible, it says, we know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. You see, the ordinary king, okay, let me just say, we know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. But the one, that's Jesus Christ now, who was begotten of God, carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against the evil, and the wicked one does not lay hold, get a grip on him, or touch him. He was talking from experience. What I want to see is available for everybody. I'm not there yet, but I can see it. And that's where I'm going to. Are you following me? He said, the wicked one cannot touch him. That is, it's Jesus Christ that protects him. You become the apple of his eye. That Papa shared some years ago about the tree of life in the garden. He said, the cherubim are still guarding the way of the tree of life. When you become a tree of life, God puts angels around you. Third point, I said, it will determine boldness in the day of judgment. The Bible says in 4 John chapter 4, verse 17, here is a love made perfect, that may be may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. I already mentioned the parable of the what's it called? I want to go victory. I don't need to go over it again. God wants us to be like. How can we be like him? It's like he's sending us perfecting the love of God. You see, folks, I'm taking details because some of my business, God just tell me if something will come up, and I will react, and God say, no, step back. Many times, you see, I will react. God say, no, step back. Don't get into strife. So it may take you apologizing to those that are junior to you. You don't understand. We didn't get there last time. Paul said something. You see, in this love walk, you have to leave God to fight your battles. Paul said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, must be gentle, apt to teach, patient and in meekness, instruct those that oppose themselves, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. When you get into strife, you are not walking in love. You see, the person you are getting to strive with may be a baby Christian. Nothing will happen to the person. But you, too much is given, much is required. You didn't get that last time, Bible study. Paul said, he said, Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much wrong. He said, but the Lord would reward him. I won't get into it. You look stupid. You look foolish. People will abuse you. They say, you are foolish. You are stupid. Blah, 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 bang, bam, 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 bam. And then you want to show that, I'm a man of God now. No, I'm anointed. Don't touch my anointed. No. That's what God wants them to touch you. Because as they touch you, that what is inside will come out. Like when you squeeze an orange. So many times you have to, God say, then I'll go back. I'll go and apologize. I'm getting used to it now. I'm very sorry. I'll use, I'm very sorry. I won't do it again. You know, when you do something wrong, and you go and apply to somebody that is junior to you, you will not do it again. Why? Because you won't want to go and humble yourself again. So you remember, am I going to go and apologize again? So if blessing slaps you, you just walk away. I'm not going to obey again. No. But when you don't go and say sorry, that problem is still there. Because what kept you from apologizing is your pride. So the thing gets bigger. Like Papa Ralph said, the guardian snake now becomes the dragon. When you apologize, you humble yourself and you say sorry. The person is looking at you and still talk, say, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I won't do it again. And then you turn back. Alexander the coppersmith has done me much wrong. The Lord reward him. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will recompense. That's it too. That's the Lord what we are called to. Somebody takes your cloak, let them have your cloak also. Somebody slaps you. Say, turn the other cheek. But you can't do it if you don't pray enough. Learn that lesson in Gethsemane. 1 hour of prayer could not do it. 2 hours could not do it. 3 hours could not do it. Peter did not do one. He caught the guy's ear. So it's not something you leave here and say, oh, I'm going to walk low. You cannot do it until you master getting up in the morning and doing those things you've been taught. And now go, that's the background. That's the basis for the day. Now begin to watch and pray always. It's not gra-gra. It's keeping the commandments of life and love diligently. So, it will also determine your eternal reward. I'm going to stop now by the grace of God. It says, one star different from another star in glory. God is not going to put a baby Christian on the throne. It's not possible. He will do exactly what Satan did. He will cause rebellion in heaven. It's love that is sitting on the throne. God the Father, love. God the Son, love. God the Holy Spirit, love. He said, he that overcometh, the lost of flesh, will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I overcame and sat in my Father's throne. Those that he's going to determine your eternal reward. This short period of time, because your life is a vapor, 120 years, will determine where you're going to be in eternity. So why can't you allow them to slap you and keep quiet? You know why? They will come in when you are sitting on your throne. They will come to come and eat of your tree, of your leaves, for the healing of the nations. You see them. Not because you wish people evil, but because you are being like God in this lifetime. This is why we are doing the exam. There's no exam over there. How are we going to get to do this? I already mentioned a practical implementation of what I'm praying about. I said, that's the basis for the day. Get up in the morning, do those things, join Good Morning Jesus, pray with all your heart. If you don't pray and you are burning data, data will not do it. Data won't do this thing, folks. Data won't do it. I'm telling you, it won't do it, oh. It won't do it, folks. It's the doing of it. Yeah, so it won't do it. No, you can put on your data and let the thing run through. You know, and when they are saying Thanksgiving, you put the microphone in your mouth so I can hear your voice. He won't do it, folks. When the rubber hits the road, your flesh will disappoint you. It will. But you see, when you do all that, you now go out there and begin to watch and pray. That's it. Now, let me just use scriptures to explain it so it can be clearer. I say, by daily keeping the commandment of life and love, more and more diligently through self-denial. John chapter 14, verse 15. Self-denial is involved, though. Get up in the morning. Personally, quote this scripture often now in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, arm yourself with this mind that he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. If you don't suffer in the flesh, you cannot cease from sin. I follow him. It's not just, you see, you can't even take the confession if you don't suffer in the flesh. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. He said, arm yourself with this mind. It's a mindset that he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. No longer living to please men, but to please God. So getting up with the morning to pray, you want to cease from sin. That's self now. So John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Just Christ says something, said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. He abided alone. He was talking about Jesus Christ dying, going to hell, but he also has to do with all. Paul said, I die daily. So it is the more you die to the flesh in the morning, the more you can bring forth fruit. And we're looking for much fruit. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7 says, Hoy here, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, what we quoted in Matthew, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day, this is how you are now going to do it. Pastor has taught us. They shall be in thy heart. Not talking about doing it. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sit down in thy house, when thou walk in the way, when thou liest down, and when that rises up. So the way you are going to love God with all your heart, your will, your mind, emotions, is when you speak about it. Bible says, the heart man believeth unto salvation, with mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is, but use the word diligently. The more diligent you are in keeping those commandments, it shows that you love God more because you don't want to sin against. Bible talks about Jesus Christ. He said that you are not yet resisted of blood striving against sin. That is tempting us coming to you. Yeah, that's how you know. Say, if you love me, keep my commandments. Say, and the Father will come and make our abode with you. It is the keeping of this commandment diligently through self-denial that will show how much you love God. So, in closing, God wants us to move from wherever we are. If you are 30-fold, move to 60-fold. Become a Mary. If you are 60-fold, move to 100-fold. Why now I invite you to sit at this table and begin to fellowship and commune with you. Praise the Lord. Let's bow to and to feed you. Let's bow and talk to the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's sing this song as we pray. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love,
more love,
more power,
more power,
more of you in my life. I will worship you with all. One more time. Pray from one of the confessions that Apostle has given us. And I say, Lord, please have mercy on us. And so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to love you more and more till I love you much. So that, Lord, daily I will love God more with all of my heart, my will, my mind, my emotions, and my strength. I love my brethren and all men more as Christ loves them, washing their feet by forgiving, confessing, so cleansing their sins by the blood of Jesus, asking life for them, praying for them in tongues frequently, at least once every 6 hours, and every opportunity as led by the Spirit to cover for every hour throughout the day, and by this in every temptation with my thoughts, to receive more of God's mercies for wisdom and strength to will and to do of God's good pleasure, to love righteousness and to hate iniquity, to have fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore, to overcome all temptations in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start praying in tongues. Oh, Rabba Sun Toloma Salabakuruma Santa Rabba Salabakuruba Santa Rabakufrin, Rabba Sumbra Masalabakur Toloma Salabakufrin, Oh, Rabba Sun Toloma Salabakurima. Father, thank you. Rabba Sun to Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Roma Santa Rabakurima Santa Rabakufrin, Oh, Rama Sun Toloma Salabakurima Santa Rabakuria, Rama Sun Toloma Santa Rabakurima Santa Rabakurima Sofra. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we go, scripture came to my heart. Just read it to buttress what I said about the essence of our morning prayer. is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He said, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." That is what you do every morning. Verse 8. "And above all things, having fervent charity among yourself, for charity will cover a multitude of things." That is, at the end of the day, you're watching and praying to enable you to perfect the love of God in your conduct. You say, "Lord, have mercy on us." So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as you praise and worship God.